Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
Throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus will be speaking about something spiritually and mystically, and they will limit their understanding of him only to the physical. And so this happens a little bit in today's gospel. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. Well, they're looking for Jesus because he fed them physical food, bread. And he's trying to help them see that there's more that they're hungering for than physical things. That's going to kind of be where we go with most of the homily today. You know, in life, it's important to be deliberate. In other words, to know why we do the things that we do, to know what we expect when we go about doing something. If we're planning to do some activity or another, or establish some goal or another, we know what we set out to do. We're deliberate about our actions and our activities. It's very important. The other day, I like to fish. So the other day, I was reading an article about fishing. And the author of the article was saying, every time you make a cast, you need to have an aim. You need to be deliberate about how far you're casting and where you're casting. And I was thinking, you know, if in life we're supposed to be deliberate about every cast we make, what about how we spend every day of our lives? What about how we spend our year? What about even why we come to church? Why are you looking for Jesus? What are you expecting from him when you finally find him, if you will? Why are you looking for him? The people in the gospel today, the crowd that had come across the lake in their boats looking for Jesus, they were looking for him because he fed their physical hunger. And he knows that. They might not even be for sure themselves why they were looking for him, but he cuts right to the chase. I filled your bellies. Now, filling your belly and having a full stomach, that's not something that's bad. That's important. It's important to satisfy our physical needs. It's important to satisfy our body. That's a legitimate want, not just a legitimate want, a necessity. But it is not the highest good. It is not the most that we need to be asking from God to satisfy our physical needs. And so Jesus says to them, do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. The Son of Man is how Jesus refers to himself. It's like the pronoun I in some respects for Jesus. So he says, do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life, which I will give you. He wants them to seek eternal things, and they're focused just on worldly things, just on passing things. So what is it, again, that you expect that you're going to receive from Jesus as you're looking for him? As we kind of set that up with the gospel, we're going to go back to the Old Testament reading. And the Old Testament reading is from the book of Exodus. Now, what happens in the book of Exodus? What happens in the book of Exodus is that the Jews are slaves in Egypt. They're slaved there. Moses is raised up. He leads them out of slavery. They go a little bit into the desert and they come to the Red Sea, right? And they're stuck there at the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army is pressing down on them. And Moses divides the sea. They cross through the water, escape from slavery, Now they're in the desert on the other side, and the waters close back over on Pharaoh's army. And there they are in the desert, and they're singing this beautiful hymn of praise. This is in Exodus chapter 15, this beautiful hymn of thanks and praise to God for rescuing them and all of the wonderful things that God has done. That's chapter 15. And then we get to chapter 16, which we read a little bit of tonight. And the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the Israelite community, or the Jews or the Hebrews, said, "Would that we had died. I wish we would have died at the Lord's hands in Egypt as we sat by our flesh pots and had a full belly. But you've brought us out here into this desert to die of starvation." And so they're grumbling and complaining. They've seen these miracles. They're on this journey from slavery to the promised land, but they've gotten impatient and they complain. And so what happens? What happens is God responds and says, "I'm going to rain down bread upon you," right? You heard that in the Old Testament reading. What do we call that bread that came down from heaven? We call that the manna from heaven. That's exactly right. But you know, when the Jews were given the manna from heaven, they didn't know what it was. They had never seen it before. This is something that was miraculous to them. So they go out to gather up the manna. And there are people today, rationalists, people that don't believe in the Bible, that don't believe this was a miracle. And they say, "Oh no, that manna, that was just some insect secretion that, you know, these locusts, you know, in the desert, and that's what it was." And I mean, really and truly, that's what they say. But the Jews would have been familiar with, and I know they didn't know what it was. You know how I know they didn't know what it was? Because they didn't have a word for it. When they saw the bread on the surface of the desert, they said, "What is it?" You know how you say "what is it" in Hebrew, the language that they spoke? How do you say "what is it" in the language of Hebrew? Manna, okay? And so that's like that candy bar, whatchamacallit, you know? That's what that's really how it got its name. Manna, what is it? And so that became how they referred to it. Something mysterious. Even what it is retained a kind of mystery. What is it? What is it really? And so it was the food, but more than just the bread. Did you notice in that Old Testament reading that there was more to the miraculous feeding than just the bread? There was another element to it. There was something else. They had bread in the morning and what in the evening? Flesh in the evening. Flesh and bread miraculously given to them on their journey through the desert. Just keep these ideas in mind. So it was a miraculous feeding. The second thing, or another thing about this manna that I want to point out to you, is that now this hasn't happened yet in the Old Testament story, but very shortly after this episode of the manna, they're going to make their way to Mount Sinai. And on Mount Sinai, God is going to appear to Moses, and God is going to write with his finger the Ten Commandments. And Moses is going to take the Ten Commandments down the hill, and then God is going to command that a special box called an ark is going to be made. And this ark is going to be all gold, and it's going to be symbolically and in some respects really God's presence with the Jewish people is this ark. And what's going to go inside of that ark? The Ten Commandments and something else. Actually, two other things are going to go inside of that ark. An omer, let's just say a quart or a gallon or a liter or whatever, a measurement of manna. It's special, sacred, symbolic of God's presence. Man, we should have some light bulbs going off for us now as Catholics, okay? So they put that in the ark. Now, last week, I asked you to consider the question, why are you here? At least on some level, what is it that you're here for? And I suggested last week that one of the reasons that you're here is to give. Remember the little boy, the poor boy, and he gave what he had, and what did he have? He had 5 loaves, and he gave those loaves, and the Lord multiplied them, and they were more. So you're here to give your life to God and to receive so much more from God than you give. You're here to encounter the mercy and the love of God through the ministry of Jesus. So you come here tonight, and I ask you again, what do you expect from Jesus as you look for him? Jesus faced this big crowd, and he knew they were immature in their faith. They had an immature faith. They were not fully mature. They knew he could give them something, but they weren't really sure just how much he could give them. And so Jesus says to them, and I quote tonight's gospel, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs or miracles, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." And then he goes on to say, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life." They were looking for him as a wonder worker. They were looking for him as somebody to satisfy their physical needs. But Jesus was much more interested in their soul than he was in their body. But they were simply interested in their body. And he's trying to take them outside of that and bring them up to the next level. So often we want God to take care of our job or take care of our finances or take care of, you know, our boyfriend or girlfriend or fiance or whatever it might be, some earthly thing that might be a very good thing, but God wants more for you than that. You're looking for me because you think I can fill your belly, but I got more for you than that, Jesus says. They gets their attention. Gets their attention. They're like, "Well, so what can you do so that we will believe in you? What can you do?" He says, and then they dare him, kind of. They say, "Moses gave us bread from heaven to eat for 40 years. You know, see if you can top that. Give us." That's what's implied there in the conversation. And so Jesus, I'm going to read you some of the gospel again. So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we may believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Again, they're thinking just physically. And Jesus says to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst." Now, remember that we're reading the same gospel story for 5 weeks in a row, right? And now, did y'all do your homework last week and read the whole thing? You know, sometimes people will tell me that they binge watch a whole series, a whole season. Like, you know, like they've been watching the same show episode after episode. I want you to binge read the gospel, okay? I want you to read like 5 or 6 weeks in a row. And if you've been watching too much TV, you need to come see me in the confessional, okay? That's not a good way to spend, that is not a good deliberate way to spend your life. It really isn't, you know. But I know it can be a bit habit forming, I've heard people say. So we're going to binge read the gospel, and we're going to see that the story that we have today continues. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. You must eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you have no life in you. And we remember the Jews traveling from slavery in Egypt through the Red Sea into the desert, being fed by this miraculous bread from heaven. And then we remember our baptism, being freed from the slavery to sin and death, put into the desert that is this life. We are journeying ourselves through this desert, and we are on our way to the promised land of heaven, and we have a better manna. We have the bread of eternal life, who is Jesus. We have a better Ark of the Covenant. We have a better Ten Commandments. We have all of those things. We're all just setting us up. So what is it that you're looking for from Jesus? If you're looking for his grace, for his life, we remember that you and I, we were destined to be vessels of divine love, that we were made in the image and likeness of God, that we are dwelling places of God, that we have the capacity for the infinite, that we are eternally known by God, that we have been called from eternity, that we are to be holy and without blemish, that we are to be alive in the Lord and temples of the Holy Spirit and heirs to the kingdom of God, children of God. That's what we're here to receive. Don't sell him short. Don't ask for too little from God. That's who you were made to be. It is important in life to be deliberate, to know why we do the things that we do and what we expect. Tonight, you and I, in some respects, are looking for Jesus. Let's look for him for eternal life and to nourish our souls.